Anyhow, it's December 23rd.
Yes, it is.
I'm talking to Tom Kilberg. And this is the latest in our series of interviews. And Tom, we're just going to visit for a little while. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind, just before we get into even to West Dubuque, go back into your background as far as you came out of Bellevue and high school. What happened after that?
Well, I graduated from Marquette in 1960, and I went to Loras. And I was at Loras for, of course, 4 years. But I went up there, and I got involved in wrestling. One of my friends from Bellevue said, "What's this, the wrestling stuff? Never heard of it." He said, "Why don't we go to this meeting?" And so we went to the meeting, and I went to the meeting. He didn't show up. And so I got signed up, and that was the start of my wrestling, and I wrestled 4 years for Loras. Then after Loras, I graduated in 64 and got a job at Durant, and I was down there 1 year, and I started the wrestling program down there. That was at the time when a lot of schools in Iowa were just starting wrestling up. Wrestling had been around for quite a while, of course, in Cresco and north up there, but there's a lot of areas that didn't have it, and a lot of schools were beginning it when I came out. So the first year I started one at Durant, and then after that I was dating Kathy she lived in Dubuque, so her dad worked at a station, and somehow he heard from somebody that West Dubuque was thinking of starting wrestling. So
that was
65.
Okay.
It would have been, first year at Durant was 64, 65. So in the spring of 65, I came up to West Dubuque and interviewed with Ralph Buckman on a Saturday morning, and I think I had the job before I left that day, so that's how wrestling got started at West Dubuque. And that was pretty much my background. I was lived on a farm in Bellevue, and that was the end of my farming days when I went off to college.
Thought there was something maybe better out there.
Yes, there was.
Okay, so that would be the fall semester of 60.
That's when fall of 65 is when I came to West Dubuque.
And okay, you walk in the door, and I think, hadn't they started something prior to that year at all in wrestling, or was this?
No, I don't believe so. They had no mats or anything.
So okay, what did you do to get going? I mean,
well, first of all, They must have bought a mat during the summer and the fall, and it was Durant. When I started wrestling at Durant, it seemed like I introduced it to the kids, and we had some pretty natural wrestlers down there, and we were pretty tough the first year. And we came up here, and now this was a bigger school, we got a wrestling mat, and we had no place to put it, of course, to practice. So we started out, I remember Wick was a basketball coach, and I can remember when the first practices began in the fall. We actually had practices where Wick was on one end half of the gym, and the wrestling mats were on the other half.
Okay.
And the balls would be rolling down there, and this didn't work out very well. So I think we moved from the half of the gym, we just moved up on the stage. Now, that's not a very big area for wrestling. So our first wrestling room was actually the stage, and we had wrestlers going through the curtains onto the floor, and it was better than half the basketball court. And then we moved, I think the next year we moved into the cafeteria. Now this is not, you eat at noon, they move those tables out, we roll the mats up in there after, and you know, you sweat a little bit in wrestling practice, so I don't think that was too good for, he was okay for us, but I just think of, and then the next move was to they built an addition
on the north end there.
On the north end, and they built a multi-purpose room, which was a study hall, and there was, it was our wrestling room. After 3 o'clock, they'd roll the, put the chairs away, and they had a little closet off to the side, and they put the chairs in there, and then mats were in the back of the room. We'd roll the mats out, but I just think about the difference between the safety that they do today with in care, that these wrestling rooms and everything, you worry about guys getting hurt. Here we are, we had this wrestling room with the put the mats on the floor, and then we had these brick walls that stuck out, jutted out. We had a chalkboard at the, in the front of the room, that stuck out about 3 or 4 inches, and we never really got anybody hurt. We could have had some serious problems. We were lucky with avoiding a bad injury, yeah, because those, in that room, those little block pillars came out, stuck in, and they were there.
Okay, did you have a schedule the first year?
Yeah, we did. They Buck, actually, we had a mostly JV schedule. It was a JV schedule. I think we had a fair number of kids out. We probably had 30, 40 out. And we wrestled JV teams. We won two the first year. We beat Monticello's JVs, and there may have been some varsity teams on that schedule, but I don't remember exactly which ones they were. But unlike Durant the year before, we were 7-7, and we were wrestling mostly varsity teams. So this was a little different, but. Yeah. It took a little slower to get it started at West Dubuque, but it ended up pretty good because there's a wrestling community right now, and it grew and from pretty much scratch to
nothing.
From nothing. And well, but you know, we had some good kids to start with. The McCarthys, Adam McCarthy was on one of the first team, Tom, and in our second year we had a guy go to state in Dan Lenhoff. It was the start of the Gattos. There was Neil Gatto was on that first group of guys, and that was just the beginning of a long group of Gattos. Little did we know at the time when Neil started out that it was going to be a Gatto
every year.
Gatto every year for many years. We had a Gatto on the team, and then we came the second generation, and I think this is the last 2 or 3 years is the first time that there hasn't been a Gatto on the on the wrestling team at West Dubuque. So,
what about you got the started at the high school? As far as down below, was something started at the same time?
No, really not. And it took a year or two. Then we started doing some junior high stuff. And it was some of the first, Steve Rutz. Steve Rutz was in the elementary junior high level. And he's the one that really got it going. I would say that would have been maybe 2 or 3 years before we got Steve Rutz kind of took it over. And
it'd be like a late 60s or...
It would have been the late 60s, right, because I remember one of the first guys on this junior high team was the McCarthy, some of the McCarthys, Bob McCarthy, a brother to Tom. So when he was, Bob and Bill... And I remember those guys because Steve Rutz started taking them to these youth tournaments. And I remember he took a group of, I think Steve might have been from the Harlan area.
Yeah.
And so he took a group out to the Harlan tournament. That was a big weekend for them because that's a pretty long trip. So that's the first first one I remember where, and the McCarthy boys and that group he took out did pretty well, and that ended up to be a pretty powerful group when they got to high school. Okay. So it was 2 years before we had, I'd say at least 2 years before they got something going up there, and Steve was the one that really got the junior high program going, and that was important for what was coming down the road, because in the early 70s and stuff we were real tough for quite a few years.
So that, okay, now we're going into the 70s, so you're still in that practice room up in the north end?
I think we were in
the addition was made.
We were the whenever the addition was, that's when we moved.
79.
We were on the stage for a year or two, and then we went to the cafeteria for a while. But we were in the cafeteria. I remember practicing there when we had began our big rivalries with Beckman. Mm-hmm. When that became a big rivalry, because Beckman started wrestling shortly after we did. And I can remember we were still practicing in the cafeteria when some of these first big matches with Beckman started.
I remember I think the first year I came was the year that addition was made on the west end, where we got that multi-purpose room, or the next to the ag shop and the
down there. Okay,
music room and those other classrooms. And so you guys were.
What year was that?
That was like 78, 79.
Right. Because I know in 76 we were still we were in there quite a few years.
Okay.
In that multi-purpose room.
Okay.
And then, that was big when they, in 79, if you say it was 79, when that addition on the southwest side was put on, and we got this big room where we could put two mats, or no, not really two mats, one and a quarter and one and a third, and we thought it was big.
Stuff on the walls.
We had walls, padding on the sides, so we managed to survive without getting anybody hurt for quite a few years, and then we got into that room, and that was
that was
definitely an upgrade.
Then we had the little carts that you put the mat on to take from the practice room up to the gym for the matches.
Oh yeah, we used to haul them on the carts. Yeah, this things have changed since then. The biggest thing is, as soon as that new wrestling room, as soon as the wrestling season got over, that was the weight room from, so we'd take the mats out, we'd haul the universal weight machine and all the weights down to the room from on the stage, or there was a little closet we kept them in, and we'd have to break this universal down to get it through the doors, and it was a whole day to do this with. We used phys ed kids to help haul. It was a pain, but we survived.
Yeah. Well, that was then the mats after the season. Did the mats go underneath the stage?
Yeah, we'd slide them under the stage.
Jeez.
Probably five or so mats that were rolled up. They'd be stuck in there, and that's where we pull them out a lot of times for meets. And and the thing is, sanitary, that wrestling room that we built on the southwest side down there, the mats would be laying on that cement, and then they'd build moisture up underneath there, and we had a lot of mold in there. I think I might have got my asthma started now, in that there was a lot of mold in under the mats, and we'd flip them over and wash them off.
I remember after a period of time, those mats would deteriorate
a bit,
and eventually we needed new mats.
Yes.
Well, that was like a crisis, because, my God, how much does a new mat cost?
Yeah. And now, we had a fight to get a new mat, and now we got, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 mats. We got them hanging from the ceiling. And
I don't even want to think about it.
But, it was, I remember that first mat we got, I remember some of the board members, I came up, and I guess we got our mat in the fall, and then they had a board meeting, school board meeting, and they wanted to see this man, and they were asking some questions about safety, and I said, yeah, it's really, you can drop an egg on these, and it won't break the egg. So it did. It dropped down to the man. It didn't break. But then some board member dropped one, and it landed on the mat. But then it rolled off, and it went from the mat down onto the floor, and it broke. But
I never heard that story before. That's funny.
So the mat was safe, but when it rolled off the mat, it was. So, but they were concerned that, you know, it was something new and there's this wrestling. I think everybody thought it when we started was wrestling. We were going to need some ropes and the you know, the professional stuff. But because I think it probably was big back then. But
I remember that on TV, the, you know, professional wrestling back then.
Yeah. That was... And everybody thought that's what it was going to be like. I said, no, it's not like that. But...
Well, then, so, you know, I'm ticking this off in my mind too, Tom, as far as when the addition was made, so that you got the wrestling room there. And then it takes us into the early 80s. But you also did football.
We started football at West Dubuque in the early 70s, maybe 71. We started on a program where we had freshmen 1 year, then freshmen, sophomores, and then we went to the varsity. So I got in the first year. Steve Finley and Don Hermson were mainly the ones that did a lot of some of the research on the football and stuff, and so they coached the first freshman team. I think I was still doing I did girls softball in the fall, so I was still doing that. But then the next year they were going to move them up to play sophomore level, and then there was going to be another freshman group. And then Coach McCready and I got into as coaches of that freshman team. So and then the next year, they hired Jim Kilbreath, and he was the head coach. And so now we had freshman level, sophomore level, and a varsity level. And these kids, the sophomores would have been juniors, but the seniors had never played football before. But there was seniors came out and played. It was a funny thing right before... We had big kids at West Dubuque, and we were always saying, God, if we had football, they were big and fast. I remember Herb Bastian, who was about 190 pounds and was really good in track, one of the fastest guys still at West Dubuque. If he would have been a football player, he would have been awesome. But he graduated, but that first year, then I don't know if they won any games of varsity, but they were kind of competitive. And then gradually after that, I'm not sure when the first year was. I think my first group was Henry Waxter, would have been a freshman, and it was a terrific group of players.
Yeah.
And they ended up being very good on the varsity level later on. But so then I moved with I moved up to sophomore level eventually there, and
so was you and
McCready moved up.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think I think Jim wanted us to stay with the group that we started, and we were going to flip-flop back and forth. But if you coach a freshman, you'd coach them as sophomores the next year, and then you'd go back. But once McCready and I got up to the varsity or sophomore level, we stayed there, and we stayed there for quite a few years until... Probably 80, 81 when I was the head coach.
Jim's illness. Finally, he had to resign.
Right.
And then, was that like 81, 82 maybe? Or
I think I came in 81. Or it was either the fall of 80 or the fall of 81, and it's been so long ago, but I can't really remember. I think it might have been 80, actually, the fall of 80.
Well, I remember at that point it came down to the, okay, so Jim was leaving and we needed somebody to take his place.
Right.
You were interested and George
right.
Maurer was interested.
Right.
Probably the best decision I ever made was to hire you as the football coach, along with Harold's okay. And so from that point, you continued as varsity wrestling and football. And did a little girls' golf.
Yeah, that was right. That was I still can't figure. I know there was a Carol Steffen was one of the first, and that would have been in. I think we stuck golf in 72 or 73, something. And I kept with the girls' golf until this year is my first year I'm out of it. So so it was 40-some years and of girls' golf. And, yeah, and in fact, in 80 was we had good golfers up until about 1980. But then all of a sudden we got a group of girls come in that actually played golf all year long, like Amy Harris and the O'Hara girls and
the
Hinchin and the Whiterts.
Yeah.
And we qualified for state when these girls were real young, like freshmen, O'Hara and Amy Harris. And,
well, I went on that trip with...
You went down to...
Ottumwa.
Ottumwa, right. Yeah. And we qualified for state as a team for 3 years in a row. Then when they were seniors, we didn't make it, but Amy qualified, so we were there. So that was the golf. And we've been pretty successful in girls' golf from that point on. I think we got like 15 or so conference championships at West Dubuque. And we've always had, we had a stretch there where we were kind of mediocre, but then we've always been able to get one girl. There was the Digman, Becky Digman came along in about 1996.
Yeah.
She was probably one of our best golfers ever because she was second in the state 2 years in a row and sixth as a sophomore, so... And she just had some bad luck on both years when she finished second. On, she was like leading the tournament for both years up until about the 16th or 17th hole on the second day. And then it only takes one shot. And both years it happened. She lost a couple strokes on one hole, and that was what she got beat by, one or two. And anyway... And then the last in girls' golf, we had Allie Daly here and Rochelle Beardsley.
Yeah.
So we had about 7 years of excellent, some of the best in the state as individuals. And we went to state as a team two or three times in the 2000s there. And now, didn't your girls, did they go to state ever? We were competitive.
We were competitive.
We were always, but that's when we had to compete with Senior and Wallert, and we'd always be second to one of those. And it seemed like when Wallert would be down, then Senior would be good. And we were kind of like always second for quite a few years to those teams. Then Hempstead was very good for a while, so...
Yeah.
And we'd be second to them, but.
What are your, so backing up again a little bit with football. So you took over the varsity job, and what memories do you have of those years in the 80s? I mean, they were not as great as the ones going up after that, but.
Well, you know, we started, we started out pretty competitive, and then we actually qualified for the state, got to the playoffs in 84-85,
right.
And it was with I remember because Kirk was a junior, and we had like Brad Hine, and we had a pretty good group of kids get together.
Knutson boys were playing.
The Knutson, Chad, and Chris. And this is the thing. At that time, we were not in a conference, and there was no districts, and you played. To get in the playoffs, you had to earn points, and you earned so many points by beating a team that was over 500. You got so many points if you extra points if you beat a team that was a class above you. There was classes,
yeah.
And we were an independent out here, and we had a hard time getting teams to play. And if they did want to play us, they're probably pretty good, because we weren't too bad, and teams that weren't our caliber or so would not kind of didn't want to play us. So we had a lot of 4A, 5A, whatever the class above
right,
us was.
Yeah.
We had Waterloo East, Dubuque Senior. We played
East Waterloo.
Yep. And then we played Prairie du Chien and Platteville, and Platteville was winning state championships. So we had one of the toughest schedules that you could, and we had to beat East Waterloo the last game of the year. I remember the year our first year in, which would it's either 84 or 85.
Yeah.
And we beat them up at Buckman Field and
field goal.
With a field goal, right? And I remember Waterloo East wasn't real happy about getting beat, because they kind of like destroyed our locker room afterwards. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was, and they were, it was, yeah, our locker room destroyed. I think they took care of it, though.
There wasn't much you could do with the locker room anyway.
No. I think there was mud on the walls. And yeah. So that was our first trip to the dome, and our first game in the playoffs was with Waterloo Columbus, and we had a touchdown call back that would have won the game for us, but we never got it in again, and Columbus beat us, but Columbus ended up getting in the finals, so we got beat by a good team the first round. And And then we hit a little down spell there, where we were actually pretty pathetic for about 2 or 3 years.
That was
2 years.
That was when you had the extra conferences in Harold's office.
Oh yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing: that group of kids that came through were not as gifted as what we'd been. And when we had some quality kids there for a few years, yeah. And that schedule, we could compete, but that schedule is way too tough for the next two classes that went through. And you know, they played their hearts out, and they played a lot of games pretty close, but we got killed a lot of times. But they gave everything they had. They were a group of kids that were give you everything they had, but when the moment was there, but most of them weren't getting prepared. Like they had other things to do besides the weight room, and you know, but I remember one of those games, we had homecoming and we were playing Cedar Rapids LaSalle, and they were like ranked number 2 in the state, and I think they were state champs or the year before.
LaSalle or Regis?
It was LaSalle then.
We played Regis later.
Yeah, or before, I think.
Jesus, they were good. Wow.
But LaSalle was good too.
Yeah.
And we were playing them in homecoming, and we actually, this group of kids battled with them, and we got into overtime with them, and we got beat in overtime by 2. And that was the hardest I think that group of kids ever played. And they left it all out in the field, and they were... But it was a valiant effort too. We were really underdogs in that game, and it was a brave effort by our kids. And it's probably one of our, if you could compare efforts, this was ranked up there with.
Yeah.
We had a lot of other ones too. But then after that year, we got in a group of kids, the Byron Heights and the Putz, and these ended up Jason Putz.
You're in the 90s now, though.
The early, late 80s and early 90s. And these kids ended up to being Division I ball players. So we started out, we started turning the corner. And then once we hit the 90s, it just seems like every year we had quality kids come in. And we were hitting playoffs every other year, or every sometimes two in a row, and we were real competitive.
Yeah, those are memorable years, and so that success you had in football, did that stay pretty much the same with wrestling as you went through those?
You know what? You can compare them. If you're good in football, there's a good chance you're going to be in wrestling, because when we were down in football those 2 years or 3 years, our wrestling was struggling too. Not with numbers as much as just the quality and the kids. I'm not saying they didn't give an effort. They gave a good effort, but there's a difference in ability levels, and the effort was there, but the ability wasn't. Those 2 years, and then when we got going again in football, we also got going in wrestling, and that's when we sent a couple times in the 90s. We sent 7 guys to state, and actually going back to the 80s, that when we were we had that year we went to the playoffs in football in 80 or 84. That was our first state champion was right in with that group of kids in Mike Schimmel in wrestling. So there is a comparison between if you're good in wrestling and you're probably going to be good in football, and that's carried on all the way through.
Yeah. I remember being, I was there. For some reason, I went along that year.
Yes, you did.
And Mike won it. That was a memorable moment.
Yep, and it was, I think we drove back that night from the state tournament, and then that's when the night you said, God, this is pretty late. We shouldn't be doing this. So from that point on, we'd stay over the night after the state finals instead of driving back. But yeah, Mike was dominating in that tournament. I think he had either pins or big major decisions. So that was our first state champion, and there's only been one since. So it's not easy to be a state champion. And I think maybe we got a chance with we got a kid that can be he's good enough to be a state champion. Either he's only a sophomore, but he competes with the big boys right now. So, football, and then of course once the 90s got over, we had those teams at the end of the 90s and that 2000, 2001, 2002 teams, they were some quality football teams because we had quality athletes.
That's as good as a god, I think.
Yeah, we had size, we had speed, we had everything. You know, we'd walk out in the field, and you know, we had big guys, but we weren't short and big. We were 6'6", 6'7". It looked like a college team walking out because of their length and we just didn't have one of those. We had a whole
herd of
them. We had a lot, and it was fun to coach. They worked hard, and a lot of times you work hard and you don't get anything. But these kids worked hard and they got rewarded for it.
Yeah. Well, so you guys won it in 01. But I think the year before was really pretty much the same group of guys, but and a good team. I don't remember how it wind up that year.
We got beaten in the semis by a touchdown. otherwise, we could have.
Yeah.
And you know, some of those kids that were in the semis that next spring, they ended up being on a team that won the state in basketball.
Right.
Yeah, guys like Kelchin and Hageman, and they were seniors that year, and that was the team that was the most impressive physically looking out there. Yeah, but then what happened is the next year we had a lot of juniors involved in that 2000 group, and along came a group of sophomores from the year before. They were juniors now, and they were good. They blended in. Those two groups just meshed together. We had Mike Elgin was on the 2000 team, and then of course he was one of the seniors on the 2001 team that won it. So we had good quality kids on that team. Plus we had great leaders. Like Mike was a good leader, and then the sophomores that were coming up, the juniors, we had some quality kids on that, like our quarterback Jay Lehman,
yeah.
And there was a Birds involved in that, and so we had, they came together, and they were a good team, and we got beat one game that year, and that was at Marion earlier in the year, and I think that was the thing that turned them around. They didn't like the feeling of that loss, and they never got beat the rest of the year.
The thing I remember toward the end of the year was with the playoffs, and so it came down to you guys were playing Harlan in the championship game.
Right.
And so the Friday before, you guys always got together up at the Country Inn for breakfast, and I was still coming. That was my first year of retirement, but I came over for the breakfast, and everybody was sitting there talking about the game, and you were worried about this kid from Worthington, if he was going to play or not. Feldman?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he wound up playing, but he's the guy that made the interception.
Right. He got an interception at the end.
Because he wasn't looking real great at that point.
Yeah, he was. Was he hurt or something?
Something happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. And
I remember that.
Yep, he picked up ball off at the end of the game. That was one of the best feelings that you could have as a coach, I think, is when you just come into that. I remember walking into that into the dome before that game, and you just looked around, and we had a tremendous crowd.
Yeah.
I think we filled up one whole side.
Oh yeah, it was huge.
And you don't see too many crowds like that. But we always know at West Dubuque that if you got a product and you're in the state tournament, they're going to come follow you because we're probably one of the best communities to follow teams in.
Yeah,
there is, because we. You know, just our wrestling following right now is good, and football is always pretty, really good. And down at the state tournament basketball, when we're down there, we get. But that was, I walked in there, and all those people, it was.
That gives you a feeling of wow.
Oh, yep.
I mean.
And then to win it was really good and unbelievable. It was, then to come back, and we had a little get together at the football field after the. After we came back, they met the team there, and it was a stands full of people in the crowd, or up in the bleachers. It was,
yeah.
it was great for the kids, and it was good for the. It felt good to be a coach too. Then. But the thing, and then you know, we could have possibly been in the championship game the next year after our 2001, but. We didn't even make the playoffs. We were 7-2. We had our quarterback Jay Lehman got hurt. He was a He was a senior that year. The year before, he was a junior when he won it. But he got hurt in a game up here against Cresco, and we lost that game to a very good Cresco team that made the playoffs by us, you know. And I think with Jay there, it would have been the difference. And then we got beat by Olwine, a team that was ended. I had a Division I quarterback in Sanders that went to UNI, but they beat us again in a close game up at Olwine. So those were the only two games we lost, and those two teams did very well in the playoffs. So I think if we had got in the playoffs, we would have done okay. So there would have been 2 years that I'm not sure we would have been a state champion again, but I think we would have done pretty well, because we did have some good players on that team too. But that was one of my last years, and then we had a couple more years where we were about 5-4 or 6-3, but didn't make the playoffs after. Then that was when I retired.
What was your last year?
You know, as the time goes on, I think it was 2005. Some is
some of the crazy things you remember, but you guys, I don't know how you took the travel with all those buses, all those away games. I have no idea.
It's right between wrestling and football. It was nice to get into golf, where you could get in a Suburban and drive to a meet, and you didn't have to drive. You know, some of these rides in wrestling, we'd go to Cresco, yep. And football, whatever. You know, they weren't that long, but I mean,
there was some playoff games down in.
Oh, in right.
Was it Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant, Washington, or. Mount Pleasant in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long haul.
Yep, and then, you know, we were going up to Decorah to play games in football
Cresco.
And then we go down to South Tama. That was a pretty good draw to it. Anyway, we were thinking about, you know, it'd really be nice to take these charter buses too.
Yeah.
And so we had a little fund, and we had some money. We're going to use it to pay for a charter bus to go to South Tama. This was during the regular season. We go down to South Tama, and we didn't play very well. So so then a couple years later, I think we qualified, and in football, and we went down to had to go to Mount Pleasant to play. This was in the 90s someplace, and
I remember that game.
And we got a charter bus again, and we didn't play very well again. And I said, that's the last time we're going charter buses. It seemed like we rode in luxury. We didn't play very well, so I said, we're going to be hardcore and ride these, and we never had another charter again. And I guess it worked out okay, because we played. It always seemed like we played better when we rode a yellow bus instead of those charters.
Yeah, there was. I mean, just the miles that you racked up over the years had to be.
The worst was wrestling. You know, you go down to school on a Saturday, and you guys would be there too to weigh us in, and then we'd climb out, and it would be zero or below whatever, and you get on these buses, and then you'd ride them, and in the cold, and the windows would be frosted up, and you couldn't see out of them, I remember one trip we took to. Now the bus thing, it got to you after a while. But you know, I guess when you're living it, you don't know how bad it is until you're away from it. But I remember one of the trips we took in wrestling. It was at Cresco, and it was a cold and bad winter. So we decided to take Suburbans up. So we took two Suburbans, and it was nasty out, and it was, and we got up to Cresco, and it started snowing, and it was like way below zero. It was, and the wind was blowing, and we couldn't get out of Cresco. They said the highway patrol station leave. So we spent the night on sleeping on hard. It was. I think the wind chill was something like 30, 40 below, or worse. I don't. It seemed like it anyway. So we slept in the gym on the hard mats, and there was other schools that didn't go either. And then the next morning they said, if you're going to get out of here, that right now it seems like a little window there. So we took off, and our cars were in a shop, because the Suburbans. So we got up and we took off at 8 or 9, and we were going down the road, and we're going on the other side of the road to get around drifts, and we got, and then we started having trouble with our vans weren't running. They found out that we stopped. We had a lot of parents that were in this caravan too, that the snow was blowing up into the engine area, and it was just ice built around, so we had to chip that off, and then we got home. Anyway, we came home, and there was snow here too, and we never had school the whole next week. This was on a Saturday. We come home on Sunday. They didn't have school on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think we had school on Friday, but it was a, that was one of the more,
I remember that time.
More memorial. Remember that trip. It was.
I remember you guys calling back and saying, we're staying.
Yep. It was. That was bad. Bus trips, yeah, you're right. They were something that you don't miss.
No.
The last few years of football, I would. Maybe the last 5 or 10, and we'd haul our equipment to the games in a Suburban.
Yeah,
and that was the head coach's job to drive that Suburban with.
Oh yeah,
with
yeah.
stat people.
Yeah. That's all, you know, during that. Your career, you were in physical education. You worked with different people. You remember all the people that you shared the gym with?
Right. I remember when I came, one of the first ladies in the women's department, that's when things were pretty segregated. The girls were on the girls' side, and we were on the boys' side of the gym. But a lady by the name of Mrs. Lampman, a very nice lady, and I was a young guy, and she was probably 40s to 50, and so I was 22 or whatever. And she was a very, very calm lady, and she was the first lady I worked with in phys ed, and then the next year, down the road, she wasn't there too many years, 2 or 3 years, and then there was Nikki Ray, and I was with her for quite a while, and she was also very nice. There might have been somebody before that. There was a Bakkenstedt girl, but I think she might have been after anyway. But that was the women, and then of course. Julie Westerkamp, who I was with the most years, and she was, and I was very lucky to work with some great people in phys ed throughout the year, but there were some guys, as we got bigger school, we needed more phys ed teachers, so one of them we used to have a lot of them do part phys ed and yeah. Other classes, but. Guys like I think Jim McCarthy do phys ed? No, I don't, maybe not. And there was Hermie did along with driver's ed. He would do some phys ed.
Yeah, well, Dank.
Dankert. But the craziest guy I worked with was a guy by the name of Chuck Bailey. I mean, this guy was he would do anything, and I mean we used to have Chuck would like to get some kids going, and I remember water fights in the locker room where he'd get some kids going, and then he'd have a just get them going, and the water would. I remember one kid trying to get Chuck wet, so Chuck barricades him, came into the coach's room, shut the door, and then this kid got a bucket of water and kind of just tipped it over, and it came underneath the door. so then that was something that he was always up to no good, but that was it. Made it kind of fun to. You never knew what he was going to do, but
you know, if you watch the Iowa State basketball games, the camera pans over. He's right there in the middle of the bench.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah,
in every game
he keeps shot clock. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I always look for him. I try to look for him, and they zoom by that. But if there's a coach gets up there and talks, yeah, he was a character. He added some excitement to the area.
He did.
But phys ed has developed from a, you know, we went through stages. It was a lot of games at first, and then we went into other this lifelong activities, and it's evolved through, and now actually it's just fitness mainly. They're either in the weight rooms or they do a lot of activities that the walking and the running and just to stay in shape.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, I'm thinking back those years. I don't think the attitude ever was what it should have been as far as the amount of attention given to the kids to teach them life skills, which they could, you know, watch their fitness and watch their weight.
Right.
And everything else that goes with it. There should have been a lot more attention paid to that during that period. Now we're learning that, but it's still difficult to translate it to the amount of staff available for phys ed, how many minutes the kids have, and that sort of thing. It's better, I guess, but it's pretty important.
Yeah, and they're finding it's more important. They used to just, well, if you got to do this, just forget phys ed, or
yeah,
just cut that down, and you go take that class or whatever. They're finding out that it's very important to be in shape, and it's just as important as some of the other stuff. But
it's you know, you go to the doctor for appointments, and I go, and you see the people sitting around you with conditions of whatever, but the amount of obesity that you see, it's just,
yeah.
And Susie comes home, and she tells me about these people. She weighs them in. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a lot of them with the weight problems.
Yeah.
Which causes a whole lot of other problems.
For sure.
So, yeah, phys ed, you know, it's important. And I think they're starting to realize they got to learn these. And the earlier you learn them, the easier it is to maintain them later on. But, yeah, they seem to be getting a little bit